It's not that he's yelling, he's just got a very loud voice. Coming to you from Riverside, California, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible and podcasting since 2004. I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is the Daily Show where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. Today is Gospel Saturday, and we're going to read Acts 11 and 12. I'm calling today's episode Thunder. The show notes page for today's episode is at lifespringmedia.com/S12E304. My email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Are you ready? Let's go. Acts chapter 11. The apostles and the other believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. When Peter went to Jerusalem, those who were in favor of circumcising Gentiles criticized him, saying, "You were a guest in the home of uncircumcised Gentiles, and you even ate with them." So Peter gave them a complete account of what had happened from the very beginning. "While I was praying in the city of Joppa, I had a vision. I saw something coming down that looked like a large sheet being lowered by its four corners from heaven, and it stopped next to me. I looked closely inside and saw domesticated and wild animals, reptiles, and wild birds. Then I heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Certainly not, Lord. No ritually unclean or defiled food has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke again from heaven, 'Do not consider anything unclean that God has declared clean.' This happened three times, and finally the whole thing was drawn back up into heaven. At that very moment, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to go with them without hesitation. These six fellow believers from Joppa accompanied me to Caesarea, and we all went into the house of Cornelius. He told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, 'Send someone to Joppa for a man whose full name is Simon Peter. He will speak words to you by which you and all your family will be saved.' And when I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came down on them just as on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' It is clear that God gave those Gentiles the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I then to try to stop God?" When they heard this, they stopped their criticism and praised God, saying, "Then God has given to the Gentiles also the opportunity to repent and live." Some of the believers who were scattered by the persecution which took place when Stephen was killed went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message to Jews only. But other believers, who were from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and proclaimed the message to Gentiles also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's power was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The news about this reached the church in Jerusalem, so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw how God had blessed the people, he was glad and urged them all to be faithful and true to the Lord with all their hearts. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he took him to Antioch, and for a whole year the two met with the people of the church and taught a large group. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. About that time, some prophets went from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and by the power of the Spirit predicted that a severe famine was about to come over all the earth. It came when Claudius was emperor. The disciples decided that they would each send as much as they could to help their fellow believers who lived in Judea. They did this then and sent the money to the church elders by Barnabas and Saul. Acts chapter 12. During that same time, King Herod began to mistreat some who belonged to the church. He ordered James, the brother of John, to be killed by the sword. Herod saw that some of the people liked this, so he decided to arrest Peter too. This happened during the time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After Herod arrested Peter, he put him in jail and handed him over to be guarded by 16 soldiers. Herod planned to bring Peter before the people for trial after the Passover feast. So Peter was kept in jail, but the church prayed earnestly to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Other soldiers were guarding the door of the jail. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord stood there, and a light shined in the cell. The angel struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Hurry, get up," the angel said, and the chains fell off Peter's hands. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals," and Peter did. The angel said, "Put on your coat and follow me." So Peter followed him out, but he did not know if what the angel was doing was real. He thought he might be seeing a vision. They went past the first and second guards and came to the iron gate that separated them from the city. The gate opened by itself for them, and they went through it. When they had walked down one street, the angel suddenly left him. Then Peter realized what had happened. He thought, "Now I know that the Lord really sent this angel to me. He rescued me from Herod and from all the things the people thought would happen." When he considered this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark. Many people were gathered there, praying. Peter knocked on the outside door, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so happy she forgot to open the door. Instead, she ran inside and told the group, "Peter is at the door." They said to her, "You're crazy." But she kept on saying it was true, so they said, "It must be Peter's angel." Peter continued to knock, and when they opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. Peter made a sign with his hand to tell them to be quiet. He explained how the Lord led him out of the jail, and he said, "Tell James and the other believers what happened." Then he left to go to another place. The next day, the soldiers were very upset and wondered what had happened to Peter. Herod looked everywhere for him but could not find him, so he questioned the guards and ordered that they be killed. Later, Herod moved from Judea and went to the city of Caesarea, where he stayed. Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but the people of those cities all came in a group to him. After convincing Blastus, the king's personal servant, to be on their side, they asked Herod for peace because their country got its food from his country. On a chosen day, Herod put on his royal robes, sat on his throne, and made a speech to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of God, not a human." Because Herod did not give the glory to God, an angel of the Lord immediately caused him to become sick, and he was eaten by worms and died. God's message continued to spread and reach people. After Barnabas and Saul finished their task in Jerusalem, they returned to Antioch, taking John Mark with them. In verse 1 of chapter 12, we read that King Herod had arrested some of the Christians in order to persecute them. And in verse 2, we read that Herod had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And that's all that's said about James. The narrative moves quickly to the imprisonment of Peter and how the angel came to release him in the middle of the night before he was scheduled to be martyred. But I want to talk a little bit about James. Which James is this? Well, it tells us right there in the verse. It is James, the brother of John. He was one of the first three disciples that Jesus called at the beginning of his ministry. Jesus called James and his brother John Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. I was curious about this nickname, so I did a little research. Why did Jesus call these brothers sons of thunder? I had a hunch that maybe it was because they had a commanding presence, maybe with loud voices. I've got a brother-in-law with a very loud, booming, baritone speaking voice. It's not that he's yelling, he's just got a very loud voice. And when Mike speaks, everybody in the room hears him. Maybe you know somebody like that, just has a loud, piercing voice. I love Mike, don't get me wrong, I'm not criticizing at all, but that's just one of his characteristics. I could imagine James and John maybe being like that. We do know that Jesus always had a reason for everything he did, so let's see if Scripture gives us a clue. It's in Mark 3:17 that we learn that Jesus called them Boanerges, but that verse doesn't tell us why. Now, a clue might be found in Luke 9:24. Jesus was traveling with his disciples, and they passed through Samaria on the way to Jerusalem. And while in Samaria, they wanted to stop for the night. But the Samaritan people didn't want them there. Remember, Jews and Samaritans had a hatred for each other. So since Jesus and his disciples were on the way to Jerusalem, the Samaritans thought they were Jews, which of course they were, technically. Because of this trouble, James and John asked Jesus if he wanted them to call down fire from heaven to destroy them. Well, of course, Jesus didn't let them do that, and he rebuked them at the idea. But their request does suggest that maybe James and John had passionate personalities, and perhaps they had short fuses to anger. Sons of thunder, Seems to fit, don't you think? You have a different idea? Let me know. Go to lifespringmedia.com/S12E304. Tomorrow is Epistles Sunday, and we're going to read James 4 and 5. That'll finish that book.
Boost!
On this date in church history, July 2nd, 1973, Lieutenant Florence Diana Pullman of La Jolla, California, was sworn in at Newport, Rhode Island as the first female Navy chaplain. She was later assigned to the Naval Training Center in Orlando, Florida. And speaking of La Jolla, that's one of the lovely Lady Leanne's favorite places here in Southern California. It's just about due south from my home, about 92 miles by car. A few years ago, we took the day off to spend a day down there, and I took several pictures and some videos while we were down there. If you'd like to see a few of them, take a look at lifespringmedia.com/La Jolla. Spell it all one word, L-A-J-O-L-L-A, La Jolla, L-A-J-O-L-L-A, lifespringmedia.com/La Jolla. And feel free to comment at the bottom of that page. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word and for your grace and for your steadfast love. It's a joy to serve you, and there's such a peace knowing that you are in control and that your thoughts toward us are always for our benefit. We praise you now and forever. I pray, Lord, that you would be with the LifeSpring family today. Bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got a prayer request or a praise, please go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com and fill out the form there. You can tell me as much or as little as you want me to know. You'll tell me your name, but if you want to remain anonymous, let me know that. And of course, I'll keep you anonymous here on the show. I'll pray for you in my private prayer time, and we'll lift up your praise and your prayer request with the LifeSpring family right here on the show. If you've got feedback for me, go to lifespringmedia.com/S12E304 or send me an email at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Thanks to the team, Kirsty, Sean of San Pedro, and Denise. Thank you for inviting me into your day today. It is a privilege and it's an honor, and I don't take it for granted. Support the show at lifespringmedia.com/support. And until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Take a look at the pictures from La Jolla. I think you'll like them. See you tomorrow. Bye.